Today is a continuation of last week, where we could not finish the lesson last week. And likewise, today we have the lesson of Naaman of the Syrian, cured of his leprosy. We left off speaking to you, if you remember, how that Elisha went into the room and prayed unto God that God would restore the life back into this child of the Shunammite. And we find that he stretched himself out over the child. He put his mouth upon the child's mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And the flesh of the child waxed out over the child and laying upon it in this manner, as if he would want to give his own life to that child so that child would be alive again. And as he done this, you may be sure that he was sending up many a prayer to God that God would grant that this child would come back to life. And when he arose and walked to and fro, who knows the prayers that went up to God while he was walking back to and fro concerning this child. And not only from him, but you may be sure that the mother of this child was likewise praying with him outside of the room. And lo and behold, it sneezed 7 times. The commentary says that this was where the disorder was. It had received a sunstroke, and when it sneezed like this, then this disorder was rectified, and the child came back to life, and it opened its eyes. And then he spake unto his servant Gehazi, and told him to call this Shunammite. And he called her, and he said, "There is your child." And she picked up the child. Oh, who can say what was going on in the heart of this mother? As she fell down at the feet of Elisha, and she thanked that God of Elisha that he was so good to her as to give that her child was made alive again. Oh, my hearers, how this confirmed this woman in her faith in God, and likewise in the prophet Elisha, that he truly was a man of God. Now we have here then a wonderful miracle taking place. If you notice, Elijah and Elisha, they were praying men, and by interceding by God, they were given to restore life back again. But when we read of Jesus, when he was upon earth, then he just spake the word, and they came back to life. Lazarus, come forth. And immediately Lazarus came up out of the tomb. The young man laying upon the coffin, coming out of the city of Nain, the Lord Jesus stopped this procession, and he said, "I say, young man, arise." And he immediately arose. When he went to the house of Jairus, he said, "Maid, arise," and it immediately arose. See the difference, my hearers, between Elijah and Elisha and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have here then a wonderful miracle taking place with this little child. Now this child died and was brought back to life again. My hearers, have you children? I guess you have, most of you. All this child is a type of each and every one of us, my hearers. Did this child die? So you and your children in our covenant head, Adam, have died to God spiritually. And we are born in this world dead in trespasses and sins. And now it was God that made this child alive again. And it is only God that can make us spiritually alive. He must renew us He must give us a new birth. He must impart his own life into our souls, or we remain dead. And this must take place with each and every one of us in this life, shall it be well with us for eternity. And this, what happened to this child, was a miracle. And it's a miracle today, my hearers. If any man or woman, boy or girl, are made alive by the Spirit of God, what a blessing this takes place in your life. Oh, what a wonder this was for this woman, and what a wonder it would be for you parents, for you yourself, and likewise for your children, if this should happen to you. And let me encourage you to seek this life. Let us do as Elisha done. What did he do? He went into the room, he shut the door, he got down on his knees, and he prayed that God would restore the life back to this child. Do so likewise, my hearers. Go into your room, shut your door, get down on your knees, and beg God that he would give you this new life, give you a new birth, give you that life that will never die. Are we doing wrong in teaching you this? Has not the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ask, and ye shall receive; knock, and ye shall be opened; seek, and ye shall find"? Oh, my hearers, have you children? Take them with you into the room. Bow your knees with them. Seek this God while he is yet to be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. He teaches us by the mouth of Isaiah, "Seek ye the Lord while he is yet to be found. Call upon him while he is near, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, who abundantly pardoneth." All may each and every one of us be given to find this life, which is a life that can never die, a life that is finding a union with Christ, and being joined unto him. Then when he shall come in that great day of accounts, he will take notice of each and every one that hath this life. And now, my hearers, I will take you to the lesson that we have for this day. And we have in this fifth chapter a man by the name of Naaman. And he was a general in the army of the Syrians. And he was a great man with his master, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was an honorable man and a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. We have here an account of this general. For this man had gained fame and honor by going out and being a courageous man, a fearless man, brave. And he had gained many victories with his army, and the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he thought greatly of this man. And many of the people of Syria esteemed him an honorable man, a noble man, an illustrious man for the deeds that he had done. But God had smitten him with this dreadful disease, leprosy. Oh, my hearers, it does not make what we may be in life, and how great we may be, and how honorable we may be, and what others may think about us, that we all are subject to afflictions in this life, and that in and through sin. So would this man, although he was, as I just described, such a glorious person in Syria, still he had a dreadful disease called leprosy. A leprosy was a disease that attacked the tissues, the skin tissues, and the nerves, and also wasted away many of the bodily parts of a person. This disease was considered incurable. Under Israel, in the time of Moses, we find that when a person was covered from head to foot with this disease, then he was pronounced clean. What was the reason why? The reason was that such a person was covered over with an enamel scurf, scabs all over his body. And this person was not contagious anymore, but therefore he was pronounced clean. But where the disease was in its first stages and the pieces of flesh were wide open, were red, were raw, that person was called unclean, because if any person touched that particular area of his body, he would contact this disease. Therefore, there was a separation made even by Moses in this respect. And now you may be sure that this man, Naaman, he spent much money, and he went to many physicians and tried every way to be cured of this disease, but to no avail. And now the Syrians, they had gone out by bands into the land of Israel, and they had brought back from Israel a little maid. And this maid, she was a domestic in the house of Naaman. She was a servant girl, and she labored there. And her mistress was the wife of Naaman. We have here a wonderful providence of God, that this little maid became a prisoner of war and was taken into this house, and she labored there. The wonder of it is that she felt no anger, no resentment, that she had been taken prisoner and was put in this home. They were taught, the Israelites, that whenever they were taken captive, whatever country they were taken to, they were to seek the welfare of that country. Now, she was submissive in this respect to God, that she was in this land, and that she had to do these things, which probably she never did in the land of Israel. But now she's seen this general, this Naaman, afflicted with this dreadful disease. She didn't do like you and I would do. I'll speak for myself. Probably if I was there and I was a prisoner of war, my nature would say, well, that's good for you. That's just what you deserve, to have something like that, the way you treated our people. That's us. But she didn't do that. No, she felt so sorry for this man that he was afflicted with this disease. And she was so exercised concerning this, and she began to think about the prophet Elisha. How many wonders he had done back home in her country. And she received so much faith in her soul that she said to the mistress of Naaman, would to God, she says, that our Lord was back in the land of Israel, for truly the prophet there would recover him from his leprosy. This maid spake in faith. She believed what she said, and this, what she said, carried weight. They didn't just discard it. They didn't just say, ah, she don't know what she's talking about. You hear so many stories about things like this. No, it carried so much weight that it even got to the ears of the king. And when the king heard from other sources what this maid had said, he was much taken up with this, because he loved this general, and he would so gladly see that this man was delivered from his disease. And therefore he called him, and he said to him, go to now, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And you go and take with you 10 talents of silver, and so many 100 pieces of gold, and so many changes of raiment, and take this letter with you to the king of Israel. I wish you to take particular notice that nothing was said of the prophet. This letter was directed to the king of Israel. The contents of the letter we do not have in Scripture, but nothing was said about this prophet. I was thinking about this, and I thought, why didn't Naaman say, well, let's take this young maid with us. She knows the prophet, she knows where he lives, she could bring us right to his house. Nothing was said about this either. You and I would have said, well, that would be the right thing to do. But no. This letter was made up by the king, and it was sent to the king of Israel. And we find Naaman going away with a chariot, with horses, and great pomp, and all these gifts with him to come to the king of Israel. And when he came to the king of Israel, he presented the letter to him. And when the king of Israel read this letter, why, he became so upset. He says, what does this king of Syria think I am? Does he think I am a god that I can kill and make alive? See, he's just seeking an occasion of trouble against me. In other words, he says, this king is only seeking to make war with me. Who ever heard of a man being recovered from his leprosy? How could anybody do that? And then to ask me what to do that? You notice there wasn't anything said about the prophet. But now God in his mercy had wrought something in the heart of Elisha, and when he heard what this king had done, how he had torn his clothes and had been in such great distress concerning this, he sent a message to the king and said that the king should send this man to him, and that this man would know that there was a prophet in Israel. Now, this was a message of faith. To me and you, if we read this, we would think, well, this prophet was a little proud. Send him to me, then he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. Oh, no. It wasn't in that manner that he sent this message to him. It was God that had inspired this in his heart, and he had sent this message to this king because had this been the way as I just described, they would have never came to the king. They would have immediately came to the house of Elisha. But now when Elisha heard this, then he requested the king to send him to him, knowing ahead of time that God would cure this Naaman of his leprosy. And now when this king of Israel heard what Elisha had sent to him, why, you may be sure that he was very much relieved. Or he was so thankful to get rid of this man Naaman, because he couldn't cure him. So he sent him to the house of Elisha. We see Naaman coming in his chariot and great pomp with all these gifts, and he stops before the house of Elisha. Elisha, he sends a messenger out to him and says to him, go to Jordan, wash yourself 7 times, and your flesh shall come again, and ye shall be clean. Of this man, Naaman, he was so humiliated when this message came to him. He, such a great and such an honorable creature, and he having so much gold and silver and gifts to give, that he should have somebody come out to him and tell him to go to the River Jordan and to wash himself there 7 times. Why, he says, I thought that he would come out and that he would call on the name of his God and that he would stretch his hand over the part that's leprous, and I would be made clean. But to go into that river and wash 7 times, well, what's the matter with the two rivers that are back in the land of Syria? There were two wonderful rivers running through the land of Syria, especially past the city of Damascus, the Abana and the Pophir. These two rivers are called today Berati and Orontes. These two rivers, they fertilize the ground around the city of Damascus, according to historians. And that particular area is the most beautiful and the most fertile ground in the world. And these two rivers are beautiful rivers. And when he looked at the River Jordan, that is the only river that flowed with water during the time when it was summer in Israel, because all the other streams were all dried up. And then we can realize a little bit the natural prejudice that this man had against the River Jordan when he thought of these two beautiful rivers back home. Why couldn't he go down into them and be made clean? Well, he wasn't going to go down into the River Jordan. And he went away in a rage. He was wroth. See here, my hearers, how pride worked in this man. He was a haughty man. And you would think, if he had any desire to be cured, well, he would do anything possible to be cured. Here he was just told to do something like this, something simple, and he wouldn't do it. But now his servants, and they came to him and they said, "Father, if now the prophet had bid thee do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more then, when he says, wash and be clean?" Now this was good advice that these servants gave to this man. Because if the prophet had come out and he had said, "Well, you got to use your gold, you got to use your silver, you got to use these changes of garments that you have with you, and then you'll be cured," he sure would have done it. He would have gave everything he had. But now when he was just told simply to go down into the river and wash, he didn't want to do it. Unbelief. Thinking in himself, "I've been deceived. I should have never listened to the voice of that maid back home. I'll go back to my country, and I'm not going to be fooled anymore. Nobody's going to tell me any stories that you can be cured and just go down into a river." But now his servants, as they pleaded with him, and he started to think, "Well, I haven't got anything to lose by this. I'm here anyway. If I go back, maybe I'll be sorry that I didn't do it." So he listened to his servants, and he went down into the river. He went down seven times, and the seventh time when he came up, he was cured of his leprosy. He was perfectly clean. The Bible says his flesh came back unto him like the flesh of a little child. I can see that man in my mind looking at himself, wondering, filled with admiration before that God who had cleansed him from his leprosy. He had no thought about the river anymore. He had no thought about the prophet either. But he only thought about that God in heaven above that had cured him, made him perfectly well again. What a miracle had taken place with this man. And this man, when he came back to the house of the prophet, we may see that he says, "Now I know there is no God but the God in Israel." And let me take you back, my hearers, to the beginning of my lesson in this particular chapter. And we have Naaman, a heathen, a Gentile, a man honorable and good with his master, a type of each and every one of us when we were created in Adam, our covenant head. That we were the masterpiece of God's creation. We were honorable. Oh, we were a glorious specimen of the image of God. But in and through sin, my hearers, that we have lost this glorious image, and we have contacted this dreadful disease, sin, which is a lively type of leprosy. Sin has come into the world. By one man, sin has entered into the world. And death by sin, and death shall pass upon all men, for all have sinned. A threefold death hath entered into the world, in and through this sin, that we committed with Adam. Spiritual death, natural death, and eternal death. And we are born spiritually dead. And eventually, my hearers, in and through sin, that incurable disease of any person in this world, that will take us, as it took so many millions of people already. Death natural will naturally come to every one of us. And if we die in our sins, then we will receive the reward thereof, eternal death in hell. Oh, my hearers, this man, Amon, he had this dreadful disease, and he attempted in every way to be relieved of it, to be cured of it. And now we all have this disease, and I don't think there are any practically that are trying to be cured of it. We are all sinners in the sight of God, and we are contented to be such. But when God comes down with his Spirit and convicts us of sin, then we have to deal with this dreadful disease. How many have I listening to me that are troubled about this? I'm afraid there are so few. Oh, when we are convicted of sin, then we attempt like the Amon to immediately seek a cure for this disease that we have. And we begin by breaking off outwardly with our sins. We begin to pray, we begin to plead with God, we begin to shed many tears, we read our Bibles, we come to the house of God, and we are such changed persons in this way, seeking a cure for this terrible malady which we have within us. And now, my hearers, it pleased God in his mercy to give Naaman to hear about this prophet in the land of Israel. He used this little maid for that purpose. She spake, and by what she said, this Naaman was given to go to the land of Israel to seek this prophet to be cured. So would sinners who are convicted of their sins, they are struggling against something that they cannot cure themselves. They find, no matter how they fight against it and how they war against it, it says in the Bible, sin shall not have dominion, but sin says in them, I'm going to have dominion, and they find it many times to have dominion over them. And all when they find that sin is so strong, stronger than any man and woman in this world, you never can overcome sin, my hearers, in your own strength and in your own power. Oh, and we have taught this, then we begin to be in despair. We begin to think there's no hope for me. I've tried, I've labored, I've prayed, I've struggled. I don't know what to do anymore. And now it pleases God to give some souls to hear, just like this Naaman heard of this prophet. They are given to hear by the ministry of the word about Jesus Christ, the prophet of Nazareth, the glorious God-man who is able to cure and able to save to the uttermost those that are infected with this deadly disease, sin. And oh, whether you have heard that sweet sound, my hearers, oh, what hopes have come up into your soul. How you have immediately repaired to him. Oh, you have fled to him with all your heart to be saved, to be delivered from your sins. How many are doing this? Have I any amongst me that are in this state and condition? Oh, how many are crying, weeping and sighing at times from the bottom of their hearts, saying, Lord, save me, save me. This Naaman was directed to go to the land of Israel. And he went, and he came with what? He came with silver and with gold and with changes of raiment. And all my hearers, this is the way it goes with a soul. Oh, under the means of grace, oh, when troubled and burdened with sin, it pleases God to comfort such, to encourage such, to draw them to himself. And oh, they get many encouragements under the means of grace. Oh, they get promises, and they get relief at times, but still they're sinners. They're still burdened with their sin. And there they come with all that God has given them. And they are riches, my hearers. Oh, their silver, their gold, and their wonderful things that God has given unto them. And they come to this Jesus, pleading, entreating him, showing him these things. But now when the Amen came to this prophet, he just sent a message out to him. He says, go and wash in the river Jordan, and thou shalt be recovered from thy leprosy. And now when we hear by the means of the gospel that we must be washed, must be cleansed, and must be made whole through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, there's something in us that opposes that. And we want to merit it. We want to earn it. We want to have it for this or for that reason. And when we hear this, my hearers, something goes against the grain, just like it went against Naaman. Oh, to be brought down, to be had, to be brought low, to have all our pride and all our haughtiness and everything that we considered would be current coin, to be stripped of it, and to be emptied of it, and to be nothing, to be saved by grace is a wonderful way of salvation. My hearers, and we by nature are opposed to that. Your nature, my nature, we want to merit it, we want to earn it. And now when we hear, believe on me, and thou shalt be saved. Ah, this isn't it. We want to be saved in a wonderful way. We want to have something like Naaman. We would like Jesus to come down, lay his hand on us, and speak to us, and say, now, sinner, your sins are forgiven you. But now it goes so different, my hearers. It is by the word and by the Spirit of God that sinners are pardoned, are reconciled, and in through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. This Naaman, he was brought low, but he was likewise cured. He was healed. He was made perfectly whole. And so we shall find, when God brings us to that place, that in Christ we shall be completely whole, completely clean, washed, and made so as we can stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, blessed is he that is brought there. May the Lord in his infinite mercy lead every one of us to this place, that we as lepers may be able to say, it was God who in his eternal purposes had thoughts of love, thoughts of mercy towards me, and who has led me in such a wonderful way to be saved by grace and grace only. God be praised for his salvation to such a leprous sinner as I have been. The Lord bless the feeble instruction taken out of his word this day to your immortal souls. That's all.